Take your Bibles with me this morning and turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians. We'll look in the fifth chapter. And I'm going to talk about receiving a pastor. Now, what I want you to see is I use these words specifically. The word receiving is what you do with a gift. Okay? And in the scriptures, God gives a gift. In fact, he gives several to his church. But there are some specifically for the whole body. They are not for just individuals to enjoy or practice themselves. There are many of those spiritual gifts that each one of us have. But there's one or two gifts that you'll see in the scripture. And it's there in Ephesians chapter 4. I'll go ahead and quote it for you. It says, and he gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. And he says, that we all might come to the unity of the faith. Now, God wants to do something that brings us all together in the unity of the faith, and he uses someone specifically. And we know that apostles and prophets, they were foundational gifts. They were gifts that were there for the earliest part of the church. But folks, we still have evangelists, and we still have pastor teachers. And by the way, that word pastors and teachers, and is not there in the original language. It's the idea of pastor teachers. That's the gift that I have. I have the gift of pastor teacher. I also have the gift of administration. And in those things, there are things that can be a blessing to the church. But administration, a lot of you have. But not very many of us have a gift like pastor teacher. You've got one coming. I am so thankful that Pastor Jack is going to be your pastor. I believe that he will give great leadership to this congregation. I believe that he'll be someone who'll take you to the Word of God consistently. Because, folks, that's where the authority is. The authority is not in the preacher. The authority is not in the church itself. The church has vested authority from the Word of God. But the Word of God is the final authority in all things. And when it says, and he gave some to be pastor teachers, that's a gift. Now, you say, do you see yourself as a gift to the church? Yes. Now, that's not arrogance. That's obedience. Okay? I see that wherever God puts me, it is to be a gift to that church. To help them to develop. Help them find the unity of the faith. Help the saints to be equipped for works of ministry. Because that's what the church is to do. But somebody needs to lead it. And God chooses that person to be your pastor. And so when we see the Apostle Paul speaking here in 1 Thessalonians, the fifth chapter, he has just talked about some of the end times things about the day of the Lord and things like that. And then he begins to just draw it all down to the close of his book there in 1 Thessalonians. In verse 12, he says this, But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all the people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete or blameless without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you and also will bring it to pass. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. And then he gives some other instructions there about the reading of this letter. And finally he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Now listen to what Paul is doing. He is helping the church to recognize that when he's gone, You're still going to have those that God has called to come and give leadership to you. That's the encouraging part of this whole thing. We simply hand it off to the one that God has designated to take that role in the future. That's what will happen next Sunday as we just pass that off to Brother Jack and say, here they are. And I'm going to tell him, just like I'm going to tell you right now, this is a people that's easy to love. This is a people that's easy to preach to because you want to hear the word of God. That's not true everywhere. I want you to know that. In fact, there are many times where if I go into some churches, as I did when I was a director of missions, I had 50 churches that I worked with in the Joplin area there, and some of the churches loved the word of God. Some of them kind of got irritated at you when you preached to them pretty straight. Now, I can't help whether how you deal with it. All I can do is obey God and preach the word, because it's in the delivery of the word of God that we are all either built up or held accountable for what we're not doing. And so when we think about the idea of the church, Paul is saying to the church in Thessalonica, he said, there are several things that you need to give attention to. So let's look at it again. Verse 12, he says, brethren, I request of you that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. Now, let me say that We're at a time where there's an anti-authority spirit in our whole society, okay? And it's also in many churches. I want to say there'll be a measure of that in this church and in every church, because there are some people who just don't like to be told what the Scripture says. That doesn't matter. Preacher doesn't get off easy on that one by saying, well, they might not like it. I can't help what you like and what you don't like. All I can do is say, Lord, this is what you've said for me to say. And so when we look at the Word of God, we see that Paul is telling them, appreciate those, and that's something I do know about you, is that you do appreciate those who are going to preach the Word of God to you. And it says, and appreciate those who diligently labor among you. Hear me. A pastor should labor. He should work. He should be a hard worker in the church. He should be a leader in that respect. And they will labor among you. Now, it's not they're going to be a taskmaster over you. If they are, they're abusing the thing that God has called them to do. But he says, labor among them and let them appreciate you for that. Appreciate your pastor when he comes. But secondly, he says this. He says, they have charge over you in the Lord, and they give you instruction. Now, I'm going to go to another passage that I've highlighted, and it's over in Hebrews. So go over to Hebrews 13, verse 17 with me, and I want you to see where the writer of Hebrews, and my own personal opinion is it's Paul, but nevertheless, in the book of Hebrews, we see where the instruction is given to the church about how we're to deal with those that are called as our leaders. Okay? Hebrews 13, look at verse 17. He says, obey your leaders, submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Now, in this, I want you to see what he says to the church there. He says, you have someone who has been placed in authority over you. And he says, and they're watching out for your soul. Okay? I said this, and I remembered later that I didn't finish the thought. I do that a lot. I'm sorry when I start something and then something else comes to mind and I go chase that rabbit. But I was telling you one time that when Diane and I came back to the Joplin area to be the director of missions up there, that was the first time in over 40 years of ministry that I'd ever been in a church without a pastor. I went back to my home church in Carl Junction, Missouri, just outside of Joplin. I went to high school there, and so I knew a lot of people there, and we prayed about it, went to that church. They had an interim pastor, not the same as a pastor. Okay? I know that I'm not the same as your lead pastor will be. And that doesn't hurt my feelings, okay? That's just the way it is. I like what Sandy Keep said to me one time. She was joking with me, and she said, "I call you our interrupt pastor." I agree with that. Okay, I'm the interrupt pastor, not the interim pastor. But the bottom line is that operative word there is pastor. And it's the idea that you are bringing the word of God to the people. But when we joined that church there at Carl Junction, I didn't realize just how vulnerable the church can feel without a pastor. Now, you voiced that. Many of you voiced that to me while I was just being your preacher on Sundays. And you kind of relaxed, and God began to bless our church when you called me as your interim pastor. It does matter. And we can't do things our own way. We need to do things the way God would have us to do them. But I can tell you this, that when we were in that church and we joined that church, I thought, oh, there's no one up there praying for us. No one in that place to watch over us, to protect us from harm. You see, the enemy is always trying to harm the church of the living God. He is always wanting to do something to disrupt the fellowship. He's always wanting to highlight the negative instead of the positive. He's always wanting to bring disunity within the body of Christ. The enemy's always trying to do that. Well, guess who helps to fight that off? Those who are over you in the Lord. It says they watch for your souls. And it says this, as those who must give an account. Now, folks, I believe this. While I was just your preacher for those months, I'll have to give an account for what I preached, but not for how the church was led, because I wasn't leading. But at the moment that this church said to me, "Now we want you to be our interim pastor," I began to realize I'll stand before God and answer for the way I lead, even as an interim pastor. When your pastor comes next Sunday, he's your lead pastor. He's going to pour his life into you. He's going to take time to pray and discern what God wants done. He'll give leadership to the church. But guess what? He'll fight some battles with the enemy for your sake. I've had people come into the church with ill intent when I was a pastor. And soon the Lord would make it clear to me, watch that person. That person is trouble. Now, the Spirit of the Lord was speaking that to me, so it wasn't my opinion. And as those things would play out, pretty soon you'd figure out exactly why the Spirit of God was saying, watch that person, because I had to give an account for what would happen with that congregation. And so I was there to be over that church in the Lord. And more than one time, I've had to stand up to people and say, you're wrong and you're gone. Okay? You're not going to serve here. You're not going to be around our children. You're not going to, you know, I just would have to help them know that we weren't going to have child predators in our church. And so I'd run them off. Now, let me just tell you something. Any shepherd who doesn't love his sheep enough to take care of them isn't worth his salt. And so I want you to understand when it talks about obey them who watch over you in the Lord, for they watch for your souls as those who must give an account. But then on down in that, he says, let them do so with joy and not grief, because that'll be unprofitable for you. I'll tell you something. If there are people who just want to bring grief to the pastor over and over and over and over again, that person is trouble for the whole congregation. Not just for the pastor, for the whole congregation. So he's telling them that as a pastor, the people need to support him, love him, help him, obey him. Did you hear that word? Obey. Because there's, like I said, we have an anti-authority spirit in our society. And that word has fallen on hard times, but it still means rank yourself under them. It's a military term, okay? To submit is a military term which means to rank yourself under. So when we think about this, we recognize that God is bringing that person and they are to be over us in the Lord. That's not a hierarchy. That's not, they're not better than you. They're not superhuman. They got feet of clay just like you do. I've got news for you though. They have a responsibility with God for your souls. And so when we see Paul, let me take you back to 1 Thessalonians again to chapter 5. He says, esteem them very highly in love because of their work and live in peace with one another. One of the things I want to say to you, and I believe you can do this very well because you've done it with me. Love your pastor. Love your pastor. And don't try to put up guards all the way around yourself so that there's no way that you can have a close relationship with a pastor. Love your pastor. By the way, love his wife. That's the hardest job in the church. You know that? Harder than the pastor's job is the pastor's wife's job. Because some people decide, well, I know how to get at the pastor. I'll go over here and I'll just talk to her about how bad he is. Now, she can't just draw daggers and go after you. I mean, you know, she just sits there and with a broken heart many times. But you need to love that pastor. Love his wife. They've got a young daughter. Love that daughter. Bring her into all of the activities of the church. Help her to be a part of what's going on. It's sad when churches don't receive the family of a pastor. And when they target them to get at him, that's evil. That's wickedness. That's ungodly. And so when we are receiving a pastor, love them. Esteem them highly for their work's sake, it says there. And then he goes on and he says, and live in peace with one another. Now, notice those things are connected. Living in peace with one another is very important to esteem the pastor. Because when we learn to live in peace with one another, that doesn't mean we don't occasionally have differences of opinion. We do. And you will. Okay? I mean, you got that at your house. The only way I don't get in an argument with my wife is when I say, yes, ma'am. You know? But the bottom line is that as we look at this whole thing, there have to be some times where we begin to say, that's not worth the fight. We don't need a bloody battle in the church over something so trivial. I've watched people die on hills they should never, ever die on. And they tear up the church when they do. Live in peace with one another, he says. And then he says, we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly. Listen to me. If you see someone being unruly, someone being unkind, someone being harsh to not just your pastor or his family, but to others in the church, go over and say, I'm sorry, I just observed something and I just want to talk to you about it for a moment. You know, as Christians, what you just did is not acceptable. Now, you can say that without getting in their face and yelling at them and things like that, but you can say, I admonish you not to be unruly in the house of the Lord. Do people do that in the house of the Lord? I promise you they do. Okay? And it may just be that they're having a bad day and you admonish them. They say, oh man, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have done that. Well, then go tell them that. You see, when he talks about admonishing the unruly, that means that we care enough for one another not to let ugly things happen within the fellowship of the church. And then he says, encourage the faint-hearted. There are people in our church who are right on the edge of giving up. There are people that'll be here week after week after week, and some of them, suddenly they begin to fall back and step back and no longer show up. And go connect with those persons. Encourage the faint-hearted. Let them know that they're missed. Let them know that we want to help them through whatever crisis it is that they're facing. And I got news for you. That's not always easy. But it is always necessary. Okay? So he says, and be patient with everyone. Man, that's a hard one right there. Okay? Because the Bible says be patient. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't pray for patience. You know why? Because James chapter 1 says tribulation or trouble works patience. If I pray for patience, guess what I get? Trouble. So I can learn patience. So I don't pray for that, but I try to practice patience with people who maybe they've offended me in times past, or maybe they might offend me again in the future. Well, I don't want to have a chip on my shoulder saying, knock it off, buddy. And then we get in a fight. I don't need that. You don't need that. The church doesn't need that. And so when we come to the time of receiving a pastor, it matters what we do with one another. Did you know that? It really matters what we do with one another. But then we go on down and he says, so no one should repay one another evil for evil, but always seek after what is good for one another and for all the people. Isn't that good news? Isn't that encouraging kind of thing that he's trying to have the church do? Seek the best for one another. And then he starts into an avalanche of verses that are just one or two statements. Rejoice always. That's a good advice. Okay? You say, well, I sometimes I don't feel like rejoicing. Rejoice anyway. I mean, I'm in one of those times right now. I'm in one of those really hard times. But I'm choosing to rejoice in the Lord. Because he didn't do those things. It was something that someone else did that's broken my heart. But I'm rejoicing in my Savior. Because that's where I keep things on balance. He says, pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean to be on your knees all the time or anything like that. That means be ready to pray about anything, everywhere, with anyone, wherever. Okay? And so praying without ceasing, there can be things that come up throughout your day and you just say, hey, Lord, I want to talk to you about that. That happens to me a lot out on my tractor, okay? When I'm working in my fields and stuff out at the farm, I'll be going along there and suddenly the Lord will bring something to mind. I'll say, yeah, Lord, I need to pray about that. Pray without ceasing. Now, that's not my prayer room, but it's sure a good place from time to time because there's nobody else but me and God in a John Deere tractor. But nevertheless, when I go on down, he says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will concerning you in Christ Jesus. Did he say give thanks for every good thing? He didn't put an adjective with it. He simply said, give thanks in all. That's an adverb. All things, okay? That means that this is how you ought to embrace all of those things and give thanks to God in Christ Jesus. Now, I said I was facing some things that are troubling to me right now. I don't appreciate what has happened or anything like that, but I can thank God that he's going to work something out. I can thank God that he has a plan that I don't know about yet. I can thank God that he's almighty. So we can pray about everything and give thanks. And then he says, and do not quench the Spirit. Guys, this is a big sin. Okay? Quenching the Spirit is when the Spirit of God is working in your church and you do something that causes everything to stop. You can't afford that. That's too big a thing for you to try to carry. And when you quench the Spirit, God holds you accountable. Okay? And then he says, and do not despise prophetic utterances. What's that? You're hearing it right now. Preaching. Okay? Don't despise preaching. Now, there's some that don't like it, and that's up to you, between you and God. But the bottom line is, we shouldn't despise it. We should submit ourselves to it. And your pastor, as he comes, will come, and he'll preach some good things, and you'll just say hallelujah, and he'll preach some things, and you'll go, boy, that hurt. But when you see that, he says, examine everything carefully. In other words, test it. Over in the book of Acts, it talks about the Berean Christians, that they were more noble than those of Thessalonica, in that they received the scripture with readiness of heart, and they searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. You see, it's your job to make sure that whatever is preached is certainly in line with the scripture. Okay? And so when we look at that, we're told that we are to examine these things according to his word. And so as we see this, he says, examine them carefully and then hold fast to that which is good. Don't let go of it. Okay? And then he says, abstain from every form of evil. Folks, there are lots of forms of evil. It may be something where it's out and out violent kind of things that are being done. It may be things that are just really intended to deceive people. That's an evil. There may be things where you are careless in your words. Don't be careless in your words. That's an evil. Abstain from every form of evil. And then he goes on and he says, and may the God of peace sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body. You know how we always say it? We say body, soul, and spirit. You know why? Because we're earth-focused and God's heavenly-focused. He says, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me just say to you that God wants us to understand that we are saved spirit, soul, and body. God didn't just save your soul. God didn't just save your spirit. He saved you with your body as well. Why? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, when you die, he'll come back for your body as well as your the spirit and soul that's already with him. Because at that last trumpet, the dead in Christ will rise first. What's that talking about? Well, it's not talking about them sleeping in a grave and then all of a sudden going up. No, no. They're already with him. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. He's coming after that which he redeemed. Folks, when something belongs to God, he's going to get all of it. Okay? Spirit, soul, and body. Be preserved blameless till when? The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, and faithful is he who calls you, he'll bring it to pass. That's an encouragement. You're not doing this alone. God's going to bring it to pass. But as we receive a pastor, we need to receive them, welcome them. We need to love them, his wife and his kids. We need to follow them. And I've got news for you. There'll be a new philosophy, okay? It'll be different than your previous pastor. It'll be different from your interim pastor. It'll be different from your favorite pastor. It doesn't matter. There will be a new philosophy, and God intends that, okay? There will also be new directions. We may have been going one direction for a long, long time, and the Spirit of God begins to say, all right, we've gone that far long enough, let's go this direction. And God gives your lead pastor some leadership to go and do a new ministry. Embrace it. Be a part of it. There's going to be new vision. Let me tell you, there are things that we get used to in the church, okay? We come week after week after week after week. And if you've seen something that the first time you saw it, it kind of disturbed you. Maybe it was something about the building, okay? And, you know, you see an unpainted wall and you think, man, somebody ought to paint that wall. That doesn't look good. And that bothers you. Then you come another week and you say, I sure wish somebody might one of these days paint that wall. And then third week you're saying, there's a wall there. And a little while later, you don't even notice the wall. I mean, you just get used to everything, even in its disorder. Well, guess what? He's going to come with new eyes, new vision, new direction. And it's not just going to be about a building. It's going to be about ministry. It's going to be about evangelism. It's going to be about how that we do things when we go to camp. It's going to be about all kinds of things. And so when you get a new pastor, open your heart to receive the vision and the direction that he's going to bring when he comes, and obey those who have the rule over you. But let me show you something that will keep everything on track. And it's over in the book of Philemon. In the book of Philemon, which is one page, okay, you'll find Let me find it myself, okay? In verse 6, he says, always be diligent, sharing your faith so that you may know all of the things that God has for you in Christ Jesus. Listen to me on this. Your obedience in sharing your faith will make all things come together. This week in Bible school, on Wednesday, one of our little girls got saved, and she went home and called her best friend and told her best friend that she had asked Jesus into her heart. And she said, really, what? How do you do that? And she said, well, I'm not real clear on all of it, but I know that I prayed and asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins and that. And she said, why don't you come to Bible school with me tomorrow? She did. And on Thursday, that little girl asked the teacher about what her friend had done. And she said, I'd like to know about how to ask Jesus into my heart. I had the joy of taking her back here in Bill Pratt's classroom. And Kathy sat there with me as I shared the gospel with her. And she prayed and received Christ because her friend, the day before, came to faith. And she told her friend about being saved, and her friend wanted to be saved. And now we're going to have connection with that family. Just hear me on this. Evangelism makes everything alive. And that's what we need to see within the body of Christ, is that we are all doing what that little newborn Christian girl did, and we share our faith. It's there that we find all of the things that God has for us in Christ Jesus. So if you'll share your faith, all of it will come together. So with that in mind, I want to say to you that when your pastor comes, be thrilled to get to know them. Look for the opportunity to have them in your home. Look for the opportunity to take them out to eat, you know, to do some things where you know, people let down their guard when there's some groceries in front of them, you know. and you get to know them on a personal basis. And so I guess maybe that's why Jesus fed the 5,000, so they'd open up and listen, you know. But the bottom line is, take some time, get to know them. Love them, spend time with them, and listen when they preach the word. You'll thrill your pastor's heart. You've thrilled my heart many times. And I want you to know it's been my joy to be here with you. And I'm thankful that I've done what God called me to do, led us to this time, taking us through a couple of humps and bumps in the road, okay? There's no doubt about it. But the bottom line is, as we've walked through those, God has begun to bless. Families have begun to come. There are people who are on the verge of uniting with this church and becoming a part of this body because you have obeyed the Lord. Do that and keep on doing it as you have a new pastor. Let me pray with us today, and then we'll have a time of invitation. There may be some of you today, you don't know today if you are a child of God or if not. But I want to invite you, if you want to find out about how to become a child of God, to come and say, Pastor, I need to know about that. And I'll pray with you, and I'll show you what the Bible says. But if you need to come today for any reason, these altars are always open for prayer, for us to come and simply unburden our heart before the Lord. And so this morning, as we come to this time of invitation, I'll be waiting right here at the front. Be happy to pray with anyone who needs to. But let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of looking into your word on how that we receive a pastor. And Lord, I pray that the church will not only listen, but heed what we said. Because Lord, I know that Pastor Jack will be blessed. I know he'll be blessed because of this church already. But Father, I want to be blessed beyond measure. And Lord, I pray the church will understand what that's all about. Thank you, Lord, for our elders as they'll support him. Thank you for our deacons as they'll serve with him. Father, thank you for our teachers and workers who are trying to do all of the things that need to be done. Thank you for the boys and girls who've come to Jesus this week. Thank you for the 40 workers in Bible school. Father, we want to give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. So, Lord, just use this time now in our life. And God, I pray that if there are those who need to make any kind of spiritual decision, you'll draw them unto yourself even now. We pray in Jesus' name.